still got a whole nother half of the show to come up. It's December the 27th, 2017. Al Quesada is going to be joining us after the closing bell, and this is what we call a limbo week before New Year's and right after Christmas. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
After the closing bell returns now.
Hey, welcome back to the program, everybody. Happy Wednesday, December the 27th, 2017. First show back from the Christmas break. James Tidwell, how did we do?
Well, we did pretty good. The Dow was up 28 points at 24,774. The S&P 500 up 2 at 2682. And the NASDAQ up 3 at 6939.
Thank you, sir. Now, good friend of the show, Al Quesada, joining us on this, what I call a limbo week. Al, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Hey, so this is an interesting week. First of all, how was your break? How was your holiday? If you even took a break, you, like us, seem to be working this week, so we appreciate that. But how's everything over the last 4 days for you?
You know what? It's been wonderful. Anytime that you get around family and friends and you know, you get to be thankful for a lot of things that have gone well this year.
Well, and that is what we saw in early indications of shopping numbers. In the last segment, I got to ask you this, Al. What do you prefer? Are you a gift card guy? Are you not a gift card guy? Is there a time for gift cards?
You know, I can't do the gift card thing. I'm still one of those guys that believe, you know, you got to put a little bit of thought into it and pick it up.
I actually would have bet that if I'd have had to. If you'd have given me the money on which way Al goes on the gift cards, I'd have said no. He's a guy that probably spends a lot of time thinking about what he wants to give each specific person, and that just makes a lot of sense, knowing what I do know of you over the last couple of months having conversations. You're very analytical. This is an interesting week for a lot of reasons. Now, we're seeing analysts come out with pretty heavy speculation about 2018. We're seeing the 10-year Treasury dip a little bit, and of course, people are looking at numbers, early calculations from MasterCard, Visa, and American Express. Seems like consumer sentiment was still very, very high going into the shopping season. Everybody seems to be up. Obviously, it's a little early to tell on the numbers, but is it that the optimism is swelling to the point where now analysts can't help but try to hedge their bet and plan for the inevitable dip that I'm reading all over the place?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of this has been driven by a lot of optimism. I mean, we're coming up out of a 20% rise in stocks this year. Although so much of that has been priced in already in the Trump bump, we get the tax cuts that are going on, and people think that that's going to drive the markets even higher. So I think that when optimism gets a little bit out of control, I think that's when I think big money starts getting a little nervous, because when the small investor gets in, big money has that finger on the trigger, and usually that starts signaling to change. Now, how quickly that's going to come, that's what's really, you know, anybody's guess on that.
Yeah, right. What do you make of credit markets if we were to look at that specifically right now? And I know that credit markets get a lot of scrutiny and examination during this week. I just always find that this week between Christmas and New Year's is very, very bizarre, because it seems like a lot of people have figured out what the next quarter is going to do based on after the Christmas rush and all of that. But it seems like it's just random speculation. The numbers and the metrics doesn't really account for it, but I also feel like this week, because of the consumer confidence, and where I am in Phoenix, the metropolitan area, coming from a suburb into downtown, as weird as it seems, Al, I take the traffic indicators, and I take how many people are working this week. I take all of that into consideration. For the first time in probably 10 years, we've seen a significant decrease in traffic, and ADOT has got great numbers on that. So it seems like more people are confident, happy, optimistic about next year. And to that point, a lot of people, my father, 27 years as a sales manager with the same firm, never has taken this week off. He's one of the people that decided to take this week off. It just seems like people are willing to settle into the comfortable nature that this market has created.
Yeah, I call that your 401k euphoria. You look at your 401k and you see it beeping up. It's kind of like that mood ring for you.
And I like that.
It kind of sets a tone for a lot of people that said, you know what, if my 401k is growing, if everything is growing, then things must be good. But I really think that there's a few things that we really need to be, you know, looking out for in 2018 that I think can can quickly, I think, change things for us. You know, one of the things that I've been talking about here lately is you know, we talked about the Treasury and the spreads between the long and short, Treasuries, and that's all pointing to what a flattening curve. And if you looked at history, when there's a flattening curve, it's really an early warning sign for a possible recession. So I think that's one of the things that I think going into next year, we have to look at, because right now Yellen is raising those short-term rates, and now they're starting to catch up to the long-term rates, and we could even get it to a point where it's an inverted curve, yield curve, which causes a lot of problems. And again, it shows that the economy is really not going as good as it should be. I also think that geopolitical hotspots. I mean, we've had hotspots all over the world this year, and we seem to kind of, you know, been turning our heads because the markets have been so great. But
right,
it's going to be really interesting if one of those threats really spill over into our economy. I think that's going to be something else. And I think something that we also have to look at is really the bond market, because after a decade of quantitative easing, we're finally coming down, you know, to the end of the probably one of what I consider the greatest financial experiment that we've had in U.S. history. And, you know, we're going down the path to normal, and that means that we're going to unwind probably about $4.5 trillion balance sheet, you know.
Right.
And we also got the ECB that's going to follow that. Japan's going to follow that. So there's some pretty strong things that we have to kind of look at going into the next year, because sometimes, you know, we can't let realism cloud let optimism cloud our realism.
And no, I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, here, you mentioned something that I actually specifically wanted to ask about. We brought up the Treasury a couple of times on here, and you said you've got to be looking at it right now, which a lot of stuff that I've read yesterday and today, all the different blogs and the research sites that I do preparing for the program, the Treasury is in almost every one of those as this is an indicator now. We've been able to ignore it for a little while. What specifically are we looking for in that Treasury number? Is it the 10-year yield? Is it if that number decreases? I mean, what is it that we need to be paying attention to? Because I get kind of mixed opinions on it.
Yeah, well, you got to watch the short-term rate, which is what Yellen is controlling right now.
Right.
And you have to look at the 10-year rate. And as those rates come closer together, that's what we're starting to talk about, that curve. And when it starts flattening out, have always been a really real early sign that we're close to a recession. Now, typically, I mean, it doesn't mean it's immediate, because what we've seen, I think, through history is that it's a precursor of about 7 months to 8 months before you actually start seeing the economy move into that recession point. So I think that really we have to really stay cognizant of all the things that are out there. I think that that is a really strong indicator of where this thing is really heading. So how Yellen and the Fed control the interest rates and what they're going to do and things like that, I think it's going to play really big into what's going to happen in 2018 and certainly going into 2019.
Yeah, certainly. And watching those numbers if they do decide to get closer together, that's a great explanation of that. And then waiting for new announcements from the Fed on what's going to happen. We know the interest rates have been at least identified to go up three different times over the course of 2018. Some people say as much as six, but that is certainly yet to be seen. We've got a lot more coming up on the program. I want to ask Al about a few other indicators and how he verifies this week based on what to look out for the new year, and what is he doing in his practice that might be advantageous to you and yours. My name is Jason Stansel. For James Tidwell, this is After the Closing Bell on this Wednesday, December the 27th. Stay with us. We'll be back.
After the Closing Bell returns now.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Smack dab in between Christmas and New Year's. It is December the 27th, 2017. My name is Jason Stansel. You're tuned in to After the Closing Bell. Al is our special guest. We're going to get right back to him in just a second. Before we do, Mr. Tidwell, how did we finish?
Well, good day on Wall Street. The Dow was up 28 points at 24,774. The S&P 500 up 2 at 2682. And the Nasdaq up 3 at 6939.
Al, before the break, I was talking about, it's kind of interesting the emphasis that I know I specifically put on this week and a lot of business people. This week between the Christmas and New Year's break, the markets, to me, if I go back 5 years historically, there's been some really wild rides between Monday through Friday, given Tuesday through Friday, wherever the holiday seems to fall over the last 5 years. How much emphasis or... Now, how much stock, if you will, no pun intended, do you put into this week prior to New Year's? I'm not saying there's a lot of market manipulation going on this week, but it just seems like what we see in the week between Christmas and New Year's doesn't necessarily even come close to what we see in the first quarter of the next following year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, this week, especially, I think this year's kind of unique because there's so much to digest.
For sure. I agree with that.
I think everybody's trying to get a grip of this massive tax cut, and especially with, you know, with the corporations. They're getting pretty much what they wanted here with the corporate rate cut. You cut down to 20%,
right,
which I believe gives the market a chance to go forward. But even more than that, you know, right now you're going to have large caps, and they're going to have access to, I don't know, a couple trillion dollars from overseas that are parked over offshore. So, you know, with that, the picture looks a little bit brighter. But I think the question is going to be, you know, what are the CEOs going to do with that money? That, you know, so that in the past have been focused on buybacks. Are they going to start working on their top line? So I think with what's happened, I think the market's kind of trying to figure itself out. So the news with the Fed and how that's going to react, the tax cuts and everything else. So I don't think this particular year, this particular week, it's going to be one of those years where I don't think it tells you much. Or have much impact on really what's going to happen in the first quarter.
I like what you just said about the offshore money. A lot of times we don't take that into consideration if they're going to activate that bench money, if you will. So the whole ideology behind this cut, and I got to tell you, I did a poll, and a lot of the small business owners, guys that are in companies such as mine or smaller, believe that it's going to be a huge benefit for them as well. So it's not just the top-line corporations. They believe that business in general is going to benefit from this, at least from some of the early Gallup polls. But activating that kind of money and putting it back into the economy, I think that's the ideology that people are seeing and believing in, that that's what's going to happen. There's going to be that flush of money coming back in that maybe has been parked for a little while. And then you just hit it right on the head at the beginning of this segment, talking about this year in general has been such a unique and bizarre year with so many different things going on locally, geopolitically, in the cryptocurrency blockchain world, with our actual presidency and the media. I mean, the markets seem to have been pretty immune to a lot of the antics and circus-style activity that's been going on this year. The question is, if this continues in 2018, which really is no reason to see, I mean, what's going to happen with North Korea and blockchain and everything that you had mentioned, not only the traditional on-our-soil antics that are taking place, but the geopolitical scene in general. I don't see 2018 being any less exciting, if you will, than 2017, but are the markets going to stay as immune to it as they have been, and is that based on the consumer confidence level?
Well, you know, consumer confidence is such a, to me, it's never a hardcore thing to stand on, because remember...
Yeah, it's hard metrics to calculate, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, consumer confidence can switch on a dime. The minute something happens, the minute something goes wrong, the minute something... it's believed to have gone a certain way. You know, markets are emotional. So when you say consumer, when we say consumer confidence, yeah, we're the consumer confidence is pretty high right now. But I kind of see it as more as fragile consumer confidence because again,
I like that.
You know, there's really not a real reason as to what's happened this year. And When you're kind of going on euphoria, then I think it could easily flip on you from one second to the next. So I think to me it's more fragile consumer confidence than it is that in other past years we can say, oh my gosh, you know, consumer confidence is strong and this is going to drive us. I think right now you're seeing a lot of fragile thoughts out there.
I think you're absolutely right. It was funny. I was having this discussion with somebody else this morning, and they made the analogy that it's like when somebody says the ingredients that are in this cookie, you know, milk, flour, egg, sugar, and love, right? I bake these cookies with love. The consumer confidence index, if you will, and all the stock that we put into that in this past year, just like love, it's hard to find that as a quantifiable number. And it's amazing how a lot of people feel, especially in the credit markets, how that has led to these huge gains and this high stature of continuous success that we've seen in the markets. And that's where I think a lot of people are saying, hold on, once this, and I hate saying bubble pops, but it's that whole consumer idea of all this happiness that's out there pops, that's when the market should reflect that. And if you look at 2017, though, there's been so many media stories from the top down that if you were going to pop anything, you would have thought it would have been done already, but maybe not.
Yeah, not yet, but you know what? Reality is, I believe, is not too far off. And you know, it just all comes back to just be cognizant of, you know, where you're at. I mean, that's why you got to know if you're 10 years to 5 years in retirement, or you're in retirement, you got to think a different way. If you're 35, you got to think a different way. If you're 20, you have to do it. So you have to, all that goes into it so that you can withstand whatever happens, you know, within the next year, because, you know, we got to drive and try to get emotional out of the equation that's so emotional and it's so tough to do. So having that steady thought process, having that steady strategy, understanding where you're at, understanding time horizons, understanding risk versus reward, understanding purpose of money, it's so important right now, especially with these kind of times where things are being driven by euphoria.
Yeah, that brings up a good point, and this is what I want to ask you before, is with your practice, especially this time of year, getting ready for 2018, do you do anything different, or do you stay the course?
We pretty much stay the course. I mean, we are very cognizant of time horizons for our clients. We're very, very cognizant of risk and things like that. So we're staying the course and creating a strong defense to make sure that we can withstand anything that's coming, you know, in the next year or year and a half or so.
Well, we will certainly be keeping tabs on you as you rejoin the program in the new year. It's been a great pleasure meeting you in 2017. Sure appreciate all the time you've given us. I wish you, your family, and your business an extremely happy and